Now, right here, before I go on, I'm going to tell another story inside of a story, which is very useful. This is a very useful thing because it's right here. Now, this is a story that I heard. One of the Rebbe's secretaries said this. The Rebbe once gave one of his secretaries a paper. And the paper looked like a whole bunch of scribbled words. And this was a special paper. I don't remember if the Rebbe himself had written it, or the Friedeker Rebbe, or maybe one of the other Rebbeim, but it was a handwritten paper from one of the Rebbeim's handwritings. And he gave it to the secretary, and he said, please figure this out and write it down on another paper, what it says. In other words, to take those words and in his own handwriting, he should write it out in a neater way, in a different way. And the secretary said, at first, when he looked at all those words, kind of all scribbled together, he started getting nervous. Oh, wait, how can I do this? There's so many words. It's like a whole cloud of words. How can I do this? And the Rebbe saw what he was doing and thinking, and he smiled and he says, look, don't get confused, don't get overwhelmed and start getting nervous that you see so many words. It starts over here. The Rebbe pointed to the place where it starts. He says, start by the first word and figure out where the next word would be. And after you do two words, try to figure out where the third word would be. And if you go word by word, you'll figure out where each word will go. And that way, you'll get through all the words. And the secretary said, and he was speaking to a whole group of people, he said, he learned a very important lesson from that thing that happened to him with the Rebbe. He says, a lot of things that happen to you, like it's happening to Shimon now, is all of a sudden like a whole big, confusing cloud of things all at once. And if you look at the whole thing, you can get really nervous and you can start caving in and getting overwhelmed and you can't even do anything to deal with it. But if you just say, wait a minute, let me start here. Let me take one thing at a time and see step by step what to do. Then you can figure the whole thing out. It doesn't have to be all at once. Shimon said exactly the same thing now. Let's see what I could do. Let's start right here. I'm sitting at this table. My diamond is gone. There's nothing I can really do about it. Number two, why do I have a diamond in the first place? I found it. I'm taking it to London. Why? Because I'd like to get money for my family to be able to do good things for my family. Isn't that a good thing? Yes. Do I have to go right now and scream and cry and yell? Is it going to help anything? No. Do I have to pay the money to the captain right now for the ticket? No. Should I go and tell the captain that I lost the diamond? What for? Maybe he's going to get upset and throw me off the ship. Is that going to help anything? Is that going to help my family that he threw me off the ship? Am I telling a lie if I don't tell the captain? No. When it comes time, I'll have to tell the captain. Is it time now that I have to tell the captain? Or I could wait to tell the captain? Shh. He says, look, I'm on the ship. I'm going to London. Right now, there's nothing I can do about it. Let me wait and see what I'll do about it later. Shimon decided he's not going to crack up and get nervous and run around and start screaming and crying. He is just going to tracht good, think good. Shimon says, I'm going to think good, it'll be good, and step by step I'll figure out what to do. Now the story goes on. The ship is on its way to England. It's a far, far away place to go. The ship stops every once in a while at a harbor, a port, a place where the ship parks. And the king and the captain announces, everyone off the ship who wants to go off the ship can go into the city now for 2 hours. We're going to start sailing in 2 hours. And whoever wants to go down from the ship can go, and they can go shopping or walking around. And this is what they do on the stop to the port. Now the captain, he goes to the office of the ship company. In every city they stop, the company that owns the ship has an office. And over there, the captain goes to the office. Over there, he could get food if he wants, and he says hello to the other people that work for the company, and he gets his mail, because he has an address over there if somebody wants to send him mail. Well, he goes into the office in that place, and all of a sudden, he sees a letter. Captain, a letter for you. Oh, a letter for me? Let's see the letter. Uh-oh. He sees the letter is from England. And it's from the police department of London. And it's addressed to him. Uh-oh. I think this letter is not exactly the kind of letter I want to get in the mail. But I got it. Well, if I got it, I better open it. And the captain opens the letter and he starts to shake. Who wants to hear the letter that the English police are sending to the captain? Okay. Dear Captain, I can't do an English accent too good, but I'll do it anyway. Dear Captain of the ship, it seems that not only you are doing boat business, but you are doing funny business. We have caught you at your funny business. And so, you are in big trouble with us police in England, especially the police who are in charge of the taxes. And the captain is getting very nervous reading this letter. Now, let me explain. When you bring stuff into a country, an inspector from the police comes to see what stuff is coming into the country. And before you bring it in, you have to pay taxes. You know what taxes is? Taxes are money to the government, money to the king, money to the queen. You got to pay. Now, the captain, I'm not going to explain everything he did. All I'm going to tell you was that the captain was not only the driver of the big ship, but many times he was the owner of the stuff that was being brought to the place that the ship was going. Whatever was on the ship, not only the captain was driving it, he owned it. And he would bring it into the country, if it was England or France or somewhere else. But the captain knew different tricks to get out of paying the taxes. So when he brought the stuff in with different tricks, he would bring it in without paying the taxes, whatever his tricks were. And he saved himself thousands and thousands of dollars with his tricks. Their problem was the police in England just caught him. They caught his tricks. They figured him out. And now the letter continues. If you bring anything else into our country, England, not only we will make you pay the taxes on what you bring, But all of the taxes you owe from all of the tricks that you made, you will have to pay all of the taxes you owe us. And they figured it out in the numbers, and it came out to something like $1 million he owes taxes. And if we catch you trying to make tricks again, bringing stuff to our country, and you don't have the $1 million you owe us, we will throw you in the jail until you get the money, or somebody brings us the money, and you will stay there until the money is paid. And the captain starts to shake. Oh no, I owe $1 million taxes. Oh. What am I going to do? And somebody in the office hears him crying. What's the problem, captain? Well, I have a ship full of wheat. And my ship full of wheat, it's worth so much money. It's worth at least $1 million. $1 million of wheat. But if I bring it to England, I'm going to have to pay $1 million in taxes. Now, if I have $1 million of wheat and I have to pay $1 million in taxes, how much money do I have left? Anybody know of numbers? If you have $1 million and you take away $1 million, how much do you have left?
None.
None. Zero. Nothing. Oh, what am I going to do? If I don't take the wheat to England, well, that's the place to sell the wheat. I'm not just going to go riding around the ocean with wheat. Fish are not going to eat the wheat. I'm not going to get money from fish. I have to take it to England. But if I go to England, I got to pay all those taxes. If I pay all those taxes, I got nothing left. What am I going to do? And the captain got so upset and nervous. All of a sudden, the captain got an idea in his head, under his hat with a captain hat on it. Oh, I got a good trick. And this trick is so good that the English police will not even think to catch me at it. And that way, all my wheat will go to England. And I won't have to pay a penny of that $1 million. I'll just have to pay the regular tax, which is not such a big deal. Ha, 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 I got a good trick. Well, this is the trick. Who wants to hear the trick of the captain? Okay. Now, in the pocket of the captain's uniform is a special paper, and in that paper it says that the captain owns all of the wheat on the ship. Because when you get to the place where the inspector is of the police, he says, show me the paper who owns the stuff on the ship so I can charge the taxes. Now, if the captain shows the paper that the captain owns all the wheat on the ship, all the stuff, who's going to have to pay all the taxes?
The captain.
The captain. Which means that not only the captain is going to have to pay the tax on the stuff of the ship, but all the other taxes, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the captain says, if I get another paper that shows somebody else owns the stuff on the ship, and the inspector says, who's the owner of the stuff on the ship? And I show him another paper with another name, so that person will have to pay the taxes. And if he's not in trouble for any funny business, he'll just have to pay the regular taxes. And so, in the office, they had such official papers, and he got a blank paper. And he started writing down, the owner of the stuff on the ship is. And he starts to figure out, who could I get to sign this paper that he should be the owner of the stuff on the ship? Of course, not really the owner, but it's only to show the police inspector who comes on the ship. Let's see, who would do me that favor that he should sign this paper and be the owner. But of course, he's not going to really be the owner. He's going to be owner for about 5 or 10 minutes until we pay the tax. And then he'll let me take away the paper and tear it up. Oh, the captain says, I have a good idea. Who is it on the ship that I'm doing a favor to? I'm doing a favor to somebody on the ship. Who is it?
Shimon.
Shimon. I'm letting him go on the ship without even paying. Of course, I'm going to charge him $1,000 when he sells his diamond, but so far I let him ride on the ship for free, and I gave him a nice room and good food. And the captain got a special paper from the office. And of course, he had the real special paper in his pocket with the name, the captain, on it. And now he got another paper. And he goes now back to the ship, and he goes to Shimon's room. And Shimon is already in his room, ready to go, because they said that at a certain time the ship is going to go. And they already blew the horn. Toot! Time for the ship to leave. Well, the captain is there and knocks on Shimon's door. Shimon comes to the door. Oh, captain! How come you're coming to my room? Oh, Shimon! Shimon, I need you to do me a favor. After all, I'm doing you a favor. The captain says, Shimon, I'm doing you a big favor, right? By letting you go on the boat without paying the ticket? Uh-oh, Shimon gets afraid. Wait a minute. I wonder if the captain found out that my diamond is gone. Hey, he's coming to my room, and now he's reminding me that he's doing a favor by letting me be on the boat. Maybe he wants to see my diamond. Uh-oh, I'm getting nervous. Yes, Captain, you're doing me a big favor by not letting me... Yes, Captain, you're doing me a big favor by not having me pay the ticket yet, only when I get to England, right? Yes, yes, Shimon. Now, don't get afraid. I don't want you to pay now. I know you're going to pay when you sell the diamond. I want some other favor from you now, if you could do that. What is it, Captain? Shimon's getting nervous. Shimon, I need help bringing the wheat. Now, this ship, I don't know if you know it, but this ship is carrying a big cargo. The cargo means the stuff on the ship. You know why it's such a big ship, Shimon? Because it's loaded with wheat. Oh yeah, that's a lot of wheat. If it's in the ship, there must be a lot of wheat. Yes. Just like you're going to England to sell your diamond, well, I'm going to England to sell wheat. Oh, that's nice, Shimon says. What exactly does that have to do with me? Do you like wheat, Shimon? Oh, sure. Wheat's wonderful. I mean, you make bread out of it, and challah, and cake, and noodles. And wheat is wonderful food. Shh. Well, Shimon, how would you like to help the captain bring the wheat to England? That's a lot of wheat to carry. Maybe we'll get some workers to help us to carry it. Or better yet, leave it in the ship, and the ship will take it to England. I mean, isn't that what's happening now? The ship is taking it to England? When we get to England, I'll help you carry it, but it's a lot of wheat. Maybe we'll get some other people too. Well, the captain says, Shimon, I thought something easier than carrying it. What I would like you to do is a very simple thing. To help me to pay the taxes on the wheat. But, Captain, I told you I don't have any money exactly till I get to England. And, Be'ezus Hashem, when I get to England I'll have money. How can I pay taxes on the wheat if I don't have the money? Why should I pay the taxes? Hey, you mean you think because I have the diamond, I have so much money, I should pay the taxes on the wheat? And Shimon starts getting nervous. The captain says, no, no. Look, sometimes I get very busy when the ship gets to England or to a place, and when the officer starts inspecting and asks questions, sometimes I get very busy. And if I'm not there, I have to make him wait. I don't want to make the police officer wait. Do you like to make a police officer wait for you, Shimon? Or a big officer from the government? No, that wouldn't be nice. So I tell you what. Here's an envelope with all the money to pay the taxes. In case I'm not exactly there, then when the officer asks for the taxes, you will give him the envelope with the money. And you won't have to have him wait for me. Shimon says, oh, you mean you just want me to be there to give him the envelope? The captain says, yes. And one more small thing. The officer likes to find out on a paper exactly what's going on. So, you know, these kind of officers, they like to look at papers. And they get very happy when they see the right papers and the right names and all that kind of stuff. So, don't you like to make officers happy, like captains and big police officers and inspectors, and make sure they have the right papers, Shimon? Yes, Captain, that's a good idea. Okay, now, here's a pen, here's a paper. You see this line? All you gotta write is your name, Shimon, and then all the papers will be just wonderful. Well, I guess that's pretty easy. Just to sign a paper and give an envelope to an officer. Okay, can Allah Shimon sign the name Shimon on that paper? Now, according to that paper, Shimon is the owner of all the wheat on the ship, worth over $1 million, or at least $1 million. You understand that? Whoever understands what's going on, wiggle one finger in the air and show me that you understand. Because, of course, there's a lot of stuff to understand in this story. Very good. I see a lot of wiggling fingers. And Kenalach, the captain, took that paper right away. And he put it in his other pocket. And, of course, in one pocket he's got the name Shimon on a paper that he plans to rip up right after the officer looks at it. And the other pocket, he has got his name on the paper. That means he's the owner. You understand what's going on? There's two papers with two names with two owners. But they're both exactly the same kind of paper. According to one paper, the captain owns everything on the ship. And he doesn't want to show that, so he doesn't have to pay all the taxes. And he doesn't want them to catch him on his funny business and pay all the other stuff that he owes. And the other paper says, Shimon. Okay, shh. And that night, the captain is so happy. It's late at night, and he's driving the ship. And he's thinking to himself how smart he is, that he's saving all that money, and he's going to get so much money when he gets to England. And nobody's going to catch him in his funny business. And he got Shimon to sign the paper. And he takes out the paper to look at it. Hey, look, the name Shimon. Hey, this paper's going to save me so much money. Hey. And he puts the paper down next to the steering wheel to look at it, to get him happy. And the other paper that says the captain owns all the wheat is in his pocket. And all of a sudden, the captain sees on the table near the steering wheel a good bottle of Moshke. Oh, let me celebrate and make myself even happier at how smart I am. And let me drink some good Moshke because I'm so happy and I'm going to think about how smart I am and how rich I'm going to be. And the captain takes a glass and he pours Moshke into the glass. And nobody's there except the steering wheel. So he says to his steering wheel, well, whatever they say, they don't say L'chaim exactly. They say cheers or whatever it is. And he drinks a big glass of Moshke. And he goes on driving the boat. It's a beautiful night and it's late and the stars are shining. And then the captain sees a lot more amashka left in the bottle, and the captain's getting happier and happier, and he wants to get even happier. Just like a person's rich and rich, and he wants to get richer, and he wants to get happier, and, you know, the captain poured out another glass of bashkit, and he drinks it down. This time it tasted kind of like water. Didn't taste as strong as the first cup. And then the captain says, well, there's only some mashka left in the bottle, only about a half a bottle left. Why don't I just finish the... Oh, we have our sound effects. Oh, it's so good. It's a high-tech yeshiva. Not only we have a story, we have sound effects. And it's really good. It's such an interesting noise. And the captain finishes the bottle of mashke. And the steering wheel is spinning around. And the stars are spinning around. And the captain is spinning around. Oh, I gotta steer the ship. Wait a minute. Then he right away, you know, steers the ship without spinning around too much. Captain says, I have to get a little bit of air. I think my head is a little bit spinning. Maybe I got to get some air. And right outside of the captain's place where he drives the boat is a little porch. He opens the door and he goes out, and it's outside a deck. And there's a rail around the deck, not too big, but not too small. It comes out about, you know, to the waist of the captain, a little bit higher. And normally a person goes on the deck and they could hold on to the rail if the wind is blowing or something, and, you know, it's pretty safe. Well, the captain is out over there on the little porch, the little deck in front of his driving place, and it's getting pretty windy outside. And there's not exactly anybody steering the steering wheel, because the captain is supposed to steer the steering wheel, but the captain is not there. The captain's outside. And it's getting kind of windy, and the ship is going back and forth because nobody's steering it. And just as the wheel is turning around, the captain's head is spinning around even more than the wheel. And the stars are spinning, and the sky is spinning, and the captain is spinning. And all of a sudden, people inside of the ship who were near that side hear a big splash. Can you figure out how come all of a sudden there was a big splash? Who could figure that out in their head? Why was there a big splash?
The captain fell off.
The captain fell off of the ship into the ocean. The drunk shikar captain. And just to make the story very clear without our heads spinning too much, what was in the captain's pocket when he fell off the ship into the ocean?
The paper.
Which paper? Whose name on the paper?
The captain's.
The captain's name. And whose name is on the paper that's near the steering wheel of the ship and it didn't fall into the ocean?
Shimon's.
Shimon's name is on the paper near the steering wheel. Well, what's going to happen with that? Should we continue? No, we can get a picture of what's going on. Well, that's the picture. The picture is that the captain is in the ocean, not exactly swimming anymore. Maybe he's riding on top of a few sharks or something like that, or we don't want to get a little bit more, you know, exactly what's happening if there's sharks in the ocean, especially if a little boy or girl is listening to this tape in their pajamas and mommy doesn't want to have nightmares. The sharks weren't hungry because they came to our lunchtime and they had a lot of noodles and ketchup. Sharks wouldn't be hungry after noodles and ketchup and peanut butter. So, you know, the captain is drunk in the ocean, fell in. I don't know if his daddy taught him to swim. The sharks that swim, their daddies did teach them how to swim. The shark daddies taught the sharks how to swim. And nobody really knows why the captain, I mean, nobody knows the captain's gone except the sharks, that it's nighttime. And Mirz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll continue with a very interesting story. Inside of the ship, on the beautiful night, on the ocean, a quiet night that was getting windy, the people They heard something and they felt something. They heard a big splash. And then they started feeling the boat, the big ship, kind of rocking back and forth. They said, oh, it must be windy, and the wind is making splashing waves and stuff like that. But then the boat, the ship, was really rocking back and forth. And then somebody who was on the deck outside said, hey, wait a minute. That splash wasn't a wave. It looks like somebody's in the water, and he's splashing around. And the people came out to see who it was, and they say, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the captain splashing around?